Well, we are 3 weeks into a series on the family. It's called God's Plan for Families That Win. We all know that our families are not perfect. In fact, most of us look oftentimes and say, man, what's wrong with my family? What's going on with our family? How could I make it a little bit different? How could I make it a little bit better? We look at other people's family and we begin to compare our family to theirs, and we either think something's wrong with ours or we think something is wrong with theirs. And deep within us, we kind of wonder, how can I be a better individual? How can I go ahead and have a better family? Well, over the past couple of weeks, here's what we've said. We've said, number one, if we want a family that wins, we've got to have God as the foundation. You know, it's easy in this life to get busy. It's easy in this life to go ahead and get filled with everything else and anything else but God. And sometimes it becomes a challenge for God to be the foundation of our life, for God to be the foundation of our family. And here's the secret for God being the foundation of your family. It's not for you to be perfect. It's not for you to know every answer. It's not for you to always get everything right. It's for you to go ahead and take time and have a relationship with Him, to make Him the personal guide and director of your life. That will make a difference in your family. Last Sunday we said this: when we begin to make God the foundation of our family, here's what happens. We begin to go ahead and communicate like God wants us to communicate. We begin to share the things that God wants us to share. And last Sunday we just talked about the importance of communication and coming to a place where we listen to Him first, and then we speak later, right? We go ahead and we listen to Him, and we listen for His heart, and then we begin to go ahead and share the things that we know about Him and learn from Him and see in Him, and we let those things flow into our relationship. We talked about how we always need to make the last word a good word, right? Because sometimes in human communication, especially in a family setting, when it gets a little bit tense, we kind of want the last word. And last week, we just asked for a moment of honesty and asked you to raise your hand if you have a tendency to want the last word, and I raised both hands, and some of you did the same thing, but nearly every hand in the place what was raised. So here's what I did to go ahead and practice what I was preaching throughout the week. I went home and I told my wife, I said, you know, as the Lord gave me that point, I thought it was a really good point. Make the last word a good word. So as we try and focus on that, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and always give you the last word. And she hadn't spoke to me all week. You know, in life, sometimes we want that last word. We want to communicate that, and that's a natural thing. But here's something that's really more important that often leads to that last word and some of our communication being messed up and it becoming a struggle. And here it is. For most of us, we want more hours in our day. We want more money in the bank. For some of us, we could even stand an extra notch in our belt so that it could expand a little further. We would like to go ahead and maybe have a little more room in our garage. We would like to have a little more room in our closet. Why? Because our life is full in so many aspects. You see, our day is filled with all kinds of stuff, and we have trouble squeezing it in. Our bank account isn't necessarily full of money, but it's filled with the anticipation of bills, and sometimes we're overcommitted. Sometimes we look at our closets and we look at our house and we think, man, there's no room for any more stuff. Why is that? It's not because we're bad people in any one of those areas that we're talking about. We just tend to go ahead and cram everything we can into as tight a space as we possibly can. We live in a day and age where we brag about multitasking, so we try and do more in a 24-hour period than people before us. We overcommit and we overextend ourselves continually, and it takes place in nearly almost every area of our life. And here's what happens. Individuals become overextended, families become overextended, and we struggle to win. Well, today we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where we've been, where we look and see what God has to say to the family and how we can learn some things. But then we're going to jump back to Deuteronomy chapter 5 in just a couple of minutes, and we're going to look at something and just hone in on it for just a few moments. But before we go any further, and before I read this passage of Scripture today, I just want to share this with you. Billy Graham has spoken to more people about Jesus than any other human being that has walked the face of the earth. He's had more interaction one-on-one in crusade settings through media and film and streaming and all kinds of different things. And several years ago, they sat down to interview Dr. Graham. One of his last interviews, here's what he said. They said, "What would you do different if you had it all to do over again, Dr. Graham?" And I want you to hear this. If you don't hear anything else I have to say today, I want you to hear these words because they're profound. So this is the moment where we just kind of lean in and listen, all right? He said, "If I had it to do all over again, here's what I would do. I would travel less. I would speak less. I would study three times as much so that I would know God more." A man that's traveled the face of the earth, a man that preached night after night and in some locations for weeks and months on end where people just kept coming out. When he's in a closing season of his life, he says, "If I could do it all over again," he says, "I've been busy, I've traveled the world, I've seen a lot of things, I've done a lot of crusades, but if I could rewrite the script, I would go ahead and I would travel less, I would speak less, I would study three times as much so that I could know God more." Do you know what your family needs and what you need? Do you know what I need and what my family needs? Do you know what our society and our culture is begging for today? Why we're in such upheaval with all the evil permeating itself? It's there's a deep longing within us not to be busy, but to know God more. There's a desire that is going on in our young people's hearts for safety and security, because instinctively we know, you know what, God wants that for us. We're wired to want that and desire it, and we need it. There's a desire in our hearts for more peace and less evil. Most people don't want to go home and fight with their family. They don't leave work and say, "Man, I can't wait till I get home. We're going to have another round of it tonight." They want something that's different. How do we get that? It's by knowing God more. Moms and dads, your teenagers, your little kids, when you come home from work, when they come home from school, when you pick them up at the game, they honestly don't want another argument. They honestly don't want another clash. Sometimes we might think that they do because of the way the interaction goes. You know what they want? They just want to be loved, and they want somebody to pour into them, and they want a mom and dad that'll give them boundaries and go ahead and be a reflection of who God is and what God wants them to be. When we begin to look at our life, how do we get there? How do we attain that? How do we lay something out like that so that our family can win? Today I'm going to give you three simple words that flow from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. And I promise you they're simple, but I promise you they'll make a difference. Deuteronomy chapter 6, here's what Moses says that the Lord has said. He says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess." The key word in that is commandment and observe. He said he's given you some commandments. He wants you to observe them. He says, "I want you to kind of listen in. I want you to pay attention. I want you to begin to do it and to live it," because that's what observe really means. He says, "That you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you. You and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you." Isn't it amazing right there? It says that you may multiply greatly, that it might be well with you, that you might win. You see, the commandments weren't given to make life harder on us. God didn't write his Bible and give us his word so that life would be a struggle. He gives us these things so that we might win. God wants you to win today. He wants your family to win. And he's giving us this plan right here. He says, "I want you to come into that land that's flowing with milk and honey." He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." He says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. He says, let them sink down, because that's what we're going to communicate out of. That's what we talked about last Sunday. He says, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. When you think about that passage, he says, I want to just give you something, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to hear it. I want you to live it, and then I want you to teach it. But when we begin to look at all those things, he says, hear, I want you to live and teach. He says, if you want a family that wins, he says, dads and moms, he says, here's what you need to do. You need to hear the word of God. Then you need to be living the word of God. And then you need to be teaching the word of God. Because last Sunday we talked about this. If we really want our families to win, one of the things that we have to do is to listen first and then speak later. And we have to act more. We have to act more, meaning we're living it out. Sometimes what we're doing is speaking so loudly, people can't hear what we're saying because maybe there's a contradiction and things aren't exactly in step. But when we look at Moses, Moses said, look, here it is. I want you to hear, then I want you to live, and then I want you to teach. And what we need right now in our families, what we need in our culture is families that are winning. And a family that is winning doesn't go ahead and mean that it's without problems. A family that is winning doesn't mean that it's perfect. A family that wins is still going to have some struggles, and there's still going to be some circumstances. There's still going to be some things that keep you up late at night and cause you to go ahead and wake up early. But you know what? A family that wins is going to be a family that truly desires to hear what God has to say, then begins to go ahead and live it, and then begins to go ahead and teach it or share it. Well, when Moses talked about hear it, what's he talking about hearing? What's he really saying to them? You see, there's something that's tucked away in the Ten Commandments that we need to remember. In the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments hinge on our relationship with God, and the rest hinge on our relationship with others. And we begin to think about Moses saying, hear, and then live, and then teach. It begins to go ahead and make sense. It begins to work its way out, because when we go back and look at some of the other commandments, and I just want to hone in on one this morning for our family to win, because when we begin to go ahead and look at all the things that were just mentioned, he says, I want you to observe it. You know what your struggle and my struggle tends to be? Is we tend to go ahead and begin to observe everything that comes into our life. We begin to pay attention to it, and we begin to give it space, and we begin to go ahead and spend time with it, and all of a sudden our schedule is packed tight, and we have no margin. What is margin? We have no space in our life. Everything is full. And can I tell you something? When everything is full, do you know what happens? Somewhere there has to be friction. And you know what happens where there's friction? Especially in relationships, there's going to become frustration. Why? Because there's no margin. There's no space in our life. And here's the reality. When we pack our life full, when we have no margin, it means we have no room for God. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and look at something that's really simple that he gives us. Moses is talking to the children of Israel again, and here's what he says. He says, observe the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. As the Lord your God commanded you, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. We go ahead and take a look at it, and it says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. He says, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. When we take a look at the things that flow out of that passage of Scripture, it's focused on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a day of rest. We look at the commandments, and God said, look, you're not going to have any other gods before me. You're not going to worship any graven image. And then he says, look, I want you to go ahead and remember the Sabbath, and I want you to keep it holy. And then he begins to transition into what's going to impact our relationships with others. Some of you are asking this right now. Why is my life so full? Here's why our life becomes so full. We say yes to a lot of good things. And when your life is filled with good things, do you know what you're missing out on? You're missing out on the best things. And one of the things that we need to understand is that we need to say no to good things so that we can say yes to the best things. You see, the commandments that are laid out in this passage of Scripture teach us a point for all of our life. God says, look, I want you to go ahead and I don't want you to keep a Sabbath. Do you realize that when he said keep a Sabbath, he meant a time of rest? He meant a time of worship? He meant time with God? All throughout Scripture, when a Sabbath is mentioned, it really goes back to time with God and it goes back to relationship with God. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Do you know what the people of the day did? They took the Sabbath and here's what they did. They said, okay, this is a day where we can only take X number of steps. This is a day where if our ox falls in the ditch, we can't go and get it out. We just need to leave it there. They took it to an extreme on counting and making it difficult, and they missed the point. Moses said, if you want a life that wins, here's what you have to do. You have to say no to some good things so you can say yes to the best things, and here it is. That's how you have margin in your life. How do you get some margin, some room in your closet? You get rid of things that don't belong, right? That's how it happens. How do you get a little space in your garage? How do you free that up? You get rid of some things that don't belong. How do we get margin? How do we get space in our family? We have to say no to some good things so that we can say yes to the best things. Here's the first thing that helps us with margin. Here's the first thing that God is talking about when he talks about the Sabbath. It's relationship. One word. You want to go ahead and get a little bit of margin in your life? You want a little extra breathing room in your family? Then let's just go ahead and focus on relationship. If we're going to have families that win, one of the things that we have to have is thriving relationships. Where does that start? That starts with my relationship with God. It starts with your relationship with God. When we stop and look at what Moses writes and teaches the people, he says, I want you to go ahead and I want you to take a Sabbath and I want you to keep it holy. Do you know the word holy literally means set apart? So Moses says, I want you to get in the habit of prioritizing your time with God. I want you to get in the habit of prioritizing your relationship with God so that it is set apart. That's what's taking place. So that it is set apart. But what has happened is this: our life becomes packed full. It gets filled with all kinds of things that aren't bad things. It gets filled with all kinds of places and opportunities and places to go and events to participate in and things to do. And at the end of the day, we say, man, have I even talked to God yet? On Wednesday evenings, we're launching the discipleship experience. We're launching the discipleship experience for one reason. We're doing it to help us get back to some basics, to know how to read the Bible, to know how to go ahead and share our heart with God through prayer, to understand that he's gifted us and equipped us to serve, to go ahead and give us a basis where we can go ahead and be a better follower of Christ and to empower us to be able to say yes to the best things in our life. Why? Because we need it. When Moses looks at the people and says, I want you to remember the Sabbath, can I tell you something? He wasn't encouraging them to remember a day of the week. He was encouraging them to remember relationship. You see, the Jewish people got so good at remembering a day of the week, they didn't recognize Jesus when he came. Because all they did was remember a day of the week. All they did was count some steps. All they did was observe something, and they missed the primary function. was their relationship with God. And in our life, there are some things that are crowding out our relationship with God. In our families, there's things that are crowding out our relationships with God. You see, as an individual, we have this choice. We can prioritize or we can agonize. And sometimes in our families and as an individual, we're agonizing. And the reason we're agonizing is because we've not prioritized. We've not made God first. The relationship with God is not number one. All these things get packed in and all these demands get placed upon us and all these people are asking us to do these things and our kid says, man, can I participate in that? And can I play travel ball? And can I go here? And can I be a part of this school program? And can I stay late? And we've got all these things going on and we go ahead and we say yes to these things because they're good things. And at the end of the day, we're frustrated and we're empty. And we're saying, how in the world can I do another day? And here's the reality. The answer that we have, that we have to keep coming back to, is relationship with God. It's relationship with God. When we look at Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the one that came to die in your place and my place, here's what he did. Mark chapter 1, verse number 35, the Bible says that Jesus got up early and went alone to pray. He just went and got alone with the Father. He went and talked to the Heavenly Father, the same one that you and I can talk to. What was he doing? He was saying, I need some space in my life. When we look at the life of Jesus, he was often quoting the scripture, telling people that the scriptures were important. What was he doing? He was demonstrating that God's word gives us a little bit of margin in our life. Do you know why we often don't have margin in our life? Do you know why we often are lacking space in our life? It's because we've not heard God, we've not lived what he's instructing us to do, and we're not sharing it with those around us. It's because we've not listened to his word. It's because we've not dug deep in his word to find out if his word teaches us about how a family needs to be or how we're supposed to go ahead and conduct our finances or how we're supposed to go ahead and be able to help our kids and help them launch out. It's because we just have been going through life. When we begin to go ahead and look at what Moses says, he says, look, here's the reality. Most important part is that relationship part. What happens in our life when we don't prioritize, when the relationship with God's not what it needs to be, is not number one? Other things creep in. How do those other things creep in? They creep in because we think they're okay. They creep in because we think it'll be good. They creep in because we don't see anything wrong with it. They creep in because they make us feel a little bit better. Do you notice that everything I just said, and I could go on and list and list and list and list about the things that make us feel good or the things that are good, you know what those things often are? Those are things that edge God out. And when you look at the acrostic for that, edge God out, do you know what that is? That's ego. And you know what happens in my life and in your life? There are times where we go ahead and we say yes to ourselves and we say no to God. And our own ego, our own desire, our own fulfillment, our own enjoyment begins to go ahead and push God out. It begins to go ahead and edge God out. And all of a sudden, we've got God off of our page and it's filled with everything. And we have no margin in our life and life is chaotic. And we're saying, wow, how did I end up in this mess? And it's because we've taken our eyes and focal point off of our relationship with God. It's because we bring everything else into our family and we make those things a priority rather than God being a priority, rather than going ahead and keeping the priorities of God laid out in such a way. We go ahead and we let our kids participate in everything, and you know what? I'm all about our kids participating and all kinds of things, but how many homes are falling apart and breaking apart because little Jimmy and Susie are participating in everything and mom and dad never have any time together? And it happens later in life now. They go ahead and they break up after a long-term marriage. The kids are out of the house, and all of a sudden they say, we don't even know each other. And it's because somewhere along the line, the relationship with God and the relationship with each other was no longer a priority. When we begin to go ahead and look at what Moses said, look, here's what the Sabbath is about. It's about relationship. It's about our relationship with God, and it's about our relationship with each other. That's what it's about. The second thing is this. We want to go ahead and have margin in our life. We've got to go ahead and get to know a little bit about God and hear Him and follow His plan and start cleaning some things out that don't need to be there. And more often than not, when somebody says that, we know exactly what it is. Some things that we need to say no to. But there's a second thing, and it's just this, remembering. Here's what he said. He said, I want you to go ahead and I want you to remember the Sabbath. This is a time where you come together and you center on God and you worship Him, and He is your focal point. He says, and I want you to keep it holy. I don't want you to let go of that. It is to be set apart. So Moses says, look, I want you to have time with God, and I want you to have time for God, so that when you get together, you remember who God is and why you need Him. He says, I don't want you to go ahead and do any work. He says, some of you have servants. I don't want them to do work. I don't even want you to make their animals work. I want you to go ahead and be able to come together and remember who God is and what God has done on your behalf. He says, it would be incredible if you would come together and remember how God brought you out of the land of Egypt with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand, how He was able to go ahead and do that. But do you know one of the things that happens in our life today is sometimes we go ahead and we have a relationship with God. We invite Jesus into our life. We trust Him as our Savior. And we say, man, I am on my way to heaven. And we get busy in life. And we begin to say yes to all kinds of things. And we never learn that much more about God. And somewhere along the line, we fail to remember where we were without Him. Moses writes and he says, children of Israel, I want you to remember what God has done for you. Why do we need to go ahead and have margin in our life so that we can have some time and go ahead and remember what God has done? So that we can look back and see where we used to be and where we are now. And sometimes where we are now isn't any better than where we used to be, and it might be because we're not taking any time for a relationship and we're not taking any time to remember the goodness and the direction and the blessing of God, because that's what Moses was getting at. Moses said, I would encourage you to focus on relationship. He says, I would go ahead and encourage you to remember, just to sit back and remember. What do we have to remember? Moses says, remember that you used to be slaves in Egypt. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, do you realize that you used to be a slave to sin? And the only one that could set you free from that was Jesus Christ? And it would do us well periodically to remember that He has given us that freedom. But if we never take time for that relationship, if we've never set some space in our life to remember, if we never take that moment, here's the reality. We're not going to go ahead and remember and appreciate that. He says, remember the grace of God. He says He delivered you from it. It doesn't say that you earned it. It doesn't say that you deserved it. He says, look, I just want you to remember how He did all of it. When we begin to sit and remember the blessings of God, it helps us appreciate that relationship. But in order to remember it, we have to have the relationship. That's why it starts with that. If we want some extra space in our life, we need to start saying no to some things that are keeping us from our relationship with God. No to some things that are crowding Him out. Even if they're good things, say no to some things that are crowding them out. You know, one of the things that's always amazed me in life, do you know what the first thing to go in a crowded family schedule is? The first thing that drops off, almost 100% of the time, you know what the first thing to go is? Church attendance. I've been doing this for a long time. I've grown up in church, and I've earned the right to say it. It might go ahead and upset some of you, but that's fine. Get upset, because I'm right and you're wrong. I promise. I mean, we can go ahead and see it. We see it in people's lives. Doesn't mean you have to be there 7 days a week, 24/7. That's not what I'm talking about. It's just an easy thing to let go of. And what happens? Something went ahead and crowded God out. Something just began to edge God out. And slowly but surely, where we used to be and the things that were feeding us and helping us grow, all of a sudden they have replaced our relationship with God. And we don't take time to remember much of who he is and what he has done. Then we look and we say, man, what's wrong? And one of the things that's wrong is we've said yes to all kinds of good things or okay things, and we've not said yes to the best things. And here's what we need. We need relationship. We need to remember. We need to remember. Remember that God has done some things for us. Moses said, let's remember the blessing and where he's brought us from. But the third and final thing is this. We want rest, right? Because we do. Because the Sabbath was based on rest. It was based on time with God that would bring us rest. But without relationship and without remembering, then guess what? We're not going to have rest from worry. We're not going to have rest from the sin in our life. We're not going to have rest that we need. This was not just about taking time off. It wasn't just about saying, hey, we're not going to work today. This was about time with God and God being a focal point in our life and us focusing on him and saturating our life with him and having that relationship at the center point. Hearing what he had to say, beginning to observe it and live it so that we could share it with others, so that we could go ahead and remember who he is and what he has done, so that we could have rest from the struggles of life. Can I tell you something? There is no rest without relationship. You can't have rest from sin without relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no rest from worry. You can't have it without relationship. There is no rest from the struggles and the evils of this world without a relationship with Jesus Christ and without our relationship with God being first and foremost in our life. You go back into Genesis chapter 1 and you see God beginning to create. And you go ahead and get to that day where it's all done and God looks and it says, it was good. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says that the Lord rested. For just a moment, would you just like go on a journey with me and think for just a moment? The guy who created it all, the one who holds it all together and has been holding it all together and knows every detail of your life, do you really think he was tired? Because I don't know about you. When I get tired, do you know what I do? Sometimes I mix up my words. When I get tired, sometimes I don't catch everything that's going on. I'm here to tell you today, I hope that Genesis chapter 1 didn't go ahead and tell us that God took a day off because he was tired and couldn't keep up anymore. Because if that's the case, you and I might be in trouble. Do you know what it tells us? Tells us that he took time and he enjoyed his creation. He enjoyed the glory that would come forth from it. He took time with it and he took time for it. And how many times in our life do we not have rest because we take no time for it? We take no time with God. We take no time for God. See, we need rest from activity. That's physical rest. You and I do need that. We need rest from worry, the troubles, the sins of life. That's spiritual rest. Jesus is the one who said this in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. Come to me, all you who are weary, all who are labored and tired, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the one that said we could cast all our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. You see, Jesus offers rest, but there's no rest without relationship. And sometimes in our life, we don't have rest, not because we're bad people, not because we're doing everything wrong, but because we've crammed our life full and God has been edged out. There's no margin. There's no space. There's no space in our bank accounts because we won't follow His plan there. There's no margin in our family because we don't follow His plan there. There's no margin at work because we don't follow His plan there. God never said, I want you to go ahead and work 15 hours a day, 7 days a week. Never said that. Bible doesn't even come close to teaching that. Yet we chase those things more than we chase our relationship with God. We go after those things more than we go after Him. We look at our life and we ask, do I have rest? Is there a sense of peace? Is there a sense of calmness? Is there a sense of freedom in our home, in our family? And for some, we say no. We're either going to prioritize or we're going to agonize. We're going to have rest or we're going to be weary. And the only way we're going to have it is by having relationship and a time to remember. Then we will begin to have rest. We will begin to have margin. You see, your relationship with God means everything. What He has done deserves your remembrance. And when you truly remember the goodness of God, do you know what you're going to want? You're going to want more time with Him. That's why Billy Graham looks back and he says, with all of the blessings, if I could do it all over again, I would make more margin in my life for God. Can I tell you something? I think he's got a lot of wisdom. And I think he pulled it right out of the Bible where Moses said, look, you need to go ahead and spend time with God, focused on God, because it's more important than anything else. You need margin in your life. You need margin in your family. Make that relationship with God a priority so your relationships with others can be right. Take time to remember His goodness so you can be good to others. And take time to enjoy His rest because He's the only one that gives it. Would you pray with me? Father, I come to you today and I thank you for who you are. Lord, we need your help and we need your rest. Father, there are families here today that are weighed down with the heaviness of life. And Lord, we do get physically tired and we do get spiritually tired and emotionally drawn out. And Father, the only way that we can be renewed, the only way that we can have margin in our life, the only way we can have some space is to put you first, to keep you where you need to be. So, Father, today I pray that you would help us to hear the importance of a relationship with you, to take time to remember the things that you've done, Father, to find rest in you, to find relief and comfort and hope and strength from that relationship that you offer and from remembering those moments with you. Father, be with us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, in just a moment, we're going to stand together and we're going to sing. We're going to sing one verse of an invitation hymn. If God speaks to your heart and you would like to come and pray, to pray for your family, to pray for a little bit extra space in your life, in whatever area you might need it in, I encourage you to step out and come and pray and ask God for that. If you're here today and you need to know more about a relationship with Jesus and who He is, we would love to help you with that. So if you come and that's your need, someone will be here to pray with you and to pray for you about that, to tell you more about who He is and how you can have an everlasting relationship with Him. Maybe you're here today. You would say, John, there's some things in my life that are good things, but they're creating a struggle. They're stretching me too thin, and I need guidance and direction on how to say no to some of those things. Maybe you you come and pray about that today? Whatever your need might be, would you stand with us as we sing?